Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Old Testament, book of Judges, chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. And whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied, "No," they said, "All right, say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Well, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty hard scene to embrace as I read through that earlier and then again just now. But it's a good opener, a little over a month into the new year for us to check the foundations of our life, check how our priorities, values, the bottom lines of our lives are doing, those things that will ultimately guide our decisions, direction, and impact in the days ahead. I'll never forget Linda's words that day 41 years ago. She called from the boys' club baseball fields. I was at the law office, and she told me Nathan's Little League game was half over. I'd lost track of time dealing with what I viewed as an important case that I had on my desk. Her voice was soft, but had a twinge of disappointment in it. I had just started working with a law firm in Gainesville after clerking for a federal judge for 2 years in Tampa after I had graduated from the University of Florida Law School. And I had allowed my schedule to begin to be dictated almost solely by the demands and expectations of my new career and new firm. My values and responsibilities really seemed obvious to me. Surely Linda understood, and my 9-year-old son Nathan would too. That's what I tried to tell myself anyway. I was establishing my career, meeting the expectations of my new firm, and I was doing it all for them. That was my reasoning anyway. So her words hit pretty hard later as I walked out of Nathan's room, just having kissed him on the forehead while he slept after I'd gotten back again late from the office. "You know," she said, "today was the third game of your son's in a row that you've missed." The anger I felt at her words for not understanding my work and workload was replaced quickly with tears as I thought about the little boy who thought I hung the moon. She was right. Tears flowed as I realized that I had been allowing the expectations of the firm to take priority over the expectations of a little boy on the baseball field who kept looking toward the parking lot for my car or in the stands to see if I was seated there yet. I had let the world's values become my values, my bottom line leading me on a course similar to the one that had been done to me as a child and worse, toward the loss of a once in a lifetime sacred gift and the relationship with my son. And so I changed. I wish I could say that I fully got it all of a sudden and it was a complete heart change, but it was gradual. And since I had played and coached baseball and I knew the game and my firm encouraged us to get involved in the community, the next year I coached his team and then coached each of Nathan's baseball teams through high school until he graduated from high school and left to play at college. But I began to work on my heart change and other priorities and what I valued in life most, or what I should value. What should be the rudder to guide my life? And now, every day, I have to evaluate my time, my decisions, and my schedule with regard to the most important people and things that God has placed in my life. What about you? How are you doing with spending time with your spouse or other special person? Is your relationship when you're alone the same that others see? What and whom occupies your time each day? How are your children and other family members doing? How much time have you spent with them lately? How does your time with them compare with time spent climbing those ladders that you're called to climb toward worldly success? Is God smiling as you follow the priorities you've chosen to follow? And by the way, how much time are you spending with him? Look, This is one of those times that we have every now and then together where if I'm sharing things which seem a bit hard, I'm sorry. And if you want to jump off the call, that's perfectly all right. But even if you all hung up, I'll keep going because I need to hear this worse than any of you. Because the simple truth is that in the midst of the pace of our lives, we all need a rudder we can count on, a pole star of lasting values to which we can turn and return to guide us in those times when the world tries to pull us in different directions. In the passage from the Old Testament book of Judges that we read a moment ago, two tribes had had a great battle. The Gileadites defeated the Ephraimites and seized the fords around the Jordan River in Israel to prevent their escape. The fords were the shallow areas of the river that someone could walk through if they wanted to get away. To assure, though, that the captive Ephraimites did not escape, the Gileadites selected a password that would be difficult for the Ephraimites to pronounce because it contained a consonant, the letter H, which was not in their dialect. The Ephraimites could move about within the areas of confinement, but if they attempted to cross the fords to escape, they would be asked by a guard positioned at one of those spots to say the word Shibboleth. If they could say Shibboleth, then it showed that they were a Gileadite and they would be allowed to pass. But if they said Sibboleth instead of Shibboleth, the differences in their heritage and dialect would be revealed. They were recognized as the enemy, and they were summarily executed for trying to escape. Webster's Third New International Dictionary defines the word shibboleth in part as a customer usage regarded as a criterion for distinguishing members of one group from those of another group. So what's the shibboleth of your life? What identifies you to others? What is the shibboleth of your faith? What is it that defines your life? What would others watching you for a day, a week, or longer as you went about all your activities, what would they say about you that defines your life? What would they say defines your life? What sets you apart to have the impact for good your life is meant to have? It seems to me, as we begin this second month of the new year, that is something that we ought to figure out. And we ought to embrace for good moving ahead. What's the bottom line of your life? Will it withstand the storms and winds of life? Is it one that can overcome doubt and fear? Will it guide you well in your relationships? Will the bottom line of your life reflect having a positive impact on the lives of others God has entrusted to your care? Is the shibboleth that defines you a steady rudder for every step and every day of your life? May I suggest that your shibboleth, your rudder, your bottom line, your identity, which God is calling you to live out, will not be found in the values the world tells us are important. It won't be found in a list of accomplishments or on a long resume of awards and championships or honors that you've received. It isn't to be found in trophies gathering dust on a shelf or with your name on some wall on some building. It isn't found in the size of your bank accounts or home you live in or how many cars you have. It won't be found in your position or what others think of you. All of those are way too transient and temporary, and all are gone too soon, and all will not fulfill you. And also, it won't be found in reliving your mistakes and your regrets. Hey, you can't do it. You can't go back. If any one of you ever figures out how we can change what already happened, let me know. We'll make a fortune. But the reality is, you and I can't go back. But we can draw a line. We can learn, and we can move forward in the days ahead and live out our shibboleth, which tells the world now who we are. And the shibboleth, which defines and identifies you and me to the world, which sets us apart from the world's values, and which allows us to touch the world for good, is found in a relationship with the living God who created us and his Son, whose birth we just celebrated. I know you're really surprised for me to say that, but my friends, it is true. A relationship with the God who was with you when you were born, who knows whether you were rocked as a child, who knows what your childhood was like, who has been with you on your happiest days and in your saddest moments, the God who knows your broken promises and knows all of your mistakes and things that you've messed up. And guess what? He loves you and me, even through all your mess-ups and mistakes, just the same, and is ready to move on, helping you and me to become the person he created us to be and wants us to be. That's the relationship I'm talking about. That's our identity in him, in Christ. It's that relationship with our never-changing God that should be our rudder, our shibboleth, the thing that defines and distinguishes us in all aspects of our lives. Trust me, it will cause you to reorder your priorities so you can see your 9-year-old son's games every day and spend time with those other important people in your life today and every day. My friends, embrace that relationship with him. Make that the foundation, the identity and shibboleth of your life in this brand new year. It will make all the difference in your life as you then, with him, make a difference in the world around you. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these dear friends. Thank you for the message out of Judges that reminds us that our shibboleth, our identity, that which sets us apart, needs to be you. Because then you will make us all that you want us to be and help us to become all that you want us to be and move us in the direction that you want us to be, that you created us to be, to make a difference in this world for your glory. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us. Thanks for, in the midst of whatever we do, in the midst of the mess-ups, in the midst of the uncertainties, that you are there and you will guide and direct us and move out with us into all that you want us to be, just as you were with us every day of our lives up till now. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.